First You Think is a not-for-profit ministry of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. Support us at ucdsm.org today.
There is more love somewhere. Those are the words of one of our hymns. There is more peace, more hope. And I'm going to keep on till I find it because it's out there for me to find. Activist and model Ebony Davis writes, "A celebration of true beauty is a celebration of life. It's a celebration of freedom and the right to be who you are without fear of being judged. It's a celebration of authenticity and uniqueness. There are 7.3 billion people walking around this earth today. Sorry, 7.5. That's 7.5 billion set of eyes, 7.5 billion noses and mouths and hair textures and skin tones, stories, 7.5 billion imperfect people wanting nothing more than acceptance and the freedom to be who they are and to express themselves. We are all on the same journey. 7.5 billion people who deserve to live in love and peace and hope, to be accepted for who they are, who deserve to have their lives and their natural beauty seen and appreciated." John Constable writes, "The ability to see beauty is the beginning of moral sensibility. What we believe is beautiful, we will not wantonly destroy." A couple weeks ago, Patty read one of my sermons. It talked about appreciating beauty as a spiritual practice, about seeing beauty in faces and places and being open to seeing it. And the moral was direct: see beauty even when it's unconventional. Appreciate beauty and let it show you moments of wholeness. According to Constable, appreciating beauty and let it keep you from killing one another. But what impacts our ideas about what's beautiful and what shapes our perception? How important is it that we ourselves are seen as beautiful? And if finding people beautiful is what keeps us from harming them, how do we feel about those we find alien or different or downright ugly? And these questions come back again and again and again to the difference between deep true beauty and societally created beauty standard. Our society bombards us with messages every day to convince us that appearance is important, maybe more important than anything else. And they tell us it's not just important to see beauty, it's important to believe you are conventionally beautiful. I did a Google search while I was writing this on the words body positive, and I got 41 million hits. And a bunch of those are about how beauty can look a lot of different ways. Now, as a country, we are currently in love with loving ourselves. We are radically revisioning the physical human body and removing from a culture which says that only slender white women and muscular white men, all of whom are between the ages of 18 and 35, are attractive. Ella Dasrat of USA Today said, "With all the attention, it seems now should be a golden moment. But many body positive activists worry that despite recent ubiquity, the core message, acceptance of all bodies, is getting lost. They think the movement is being co-opted by big brands and diluted by reductive mantras like, oh, just love yourself." I'm sure everyone in this room has heard, oh, just love yourself at some point. I don't know about you, but I find that's about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. Body positivity encourages much more than curvy, white, straight, feminine bodies that may occasionally have cellulite or stretch marks. Meghan Trainor is a vocalist that some of you may know, her song All About the Bass. It's a hymn to finding girls with, well, wider assets attractive. to modern day recreation of some older songs like Queen's Fat Bottom Girls or Sir Mix-a-Lot's I Like Big Butts. Nicki Minaj celebrates her own larger form in her music. Trainor and Minaj are working to expand a definition of conventional beauty to include larger women and women of color. So is the amazing Lizzo. In her article, Taking Beauty Out of Body Positivity, writer Lindsay King Miller says even cosmetic companies are getting in on the act. Some of you may remember the Dove Real Beauty commercials where it showed a bunch of skinny white women and said, "We like all bodies." The ad's heartwarming, but it's hardly a dramatic reversal of the conventional. And the viral advertisement reminded women that being found beautiful by other people was more important than what they thought of themselves. At the end of it, one of the women said, "I should be more grateful of my natural beauty. It impacts everything. It couldn't be more critical to our happiness." This all sounds positive, but it's based on a dangerous idea, the idea that everyone on the planet can be conventionally beautiful and you have to be seen as so to matter. Beauty is important. Its appreciation can be a spiritual practice. It can help us find those moments of wholeness. But there are two ideas of beauty, and one is vastly more important. True beauty, born of wholeness and inner radiance, that inner fire I have talked about before, is important. And recognizing it in yourself is important. Conventional beauty is sold to us. It's a different issue altogether. It's a commercial product. I want to ask, and I do not want answers out loud, but I want you to think about it. How many times in your life, usually when you got dolled up real nicely or dressed up real handsomely for something, that someone said to you that you were beautiful or you were attractive or you were handsome, and your first reaction was to immediately go, "Well, no, I'm not." How many times have you told someone they look pretty or beautiful or gorgeous and had them tell you they didn't believe it, but thanks? We struggle in a culture that tells us we should try to be conventionally attractive, but we're an egomaniac if we agree that we got there. I once had someone immediately launch into a list of the cosmetics she was wearing when I told her she looked very nice, as if I was going to ask her to remove them one at a time so I could tell her when she stopped being pretty. You know, it's like, "Oh yeah, that was the one, the blush. Without it, you look like a baboon's backside. Sorry about that." Reverend Meg Barnhouse said they shouldn't call it the beauty aisle, that place in the store with all the makeup. Call it the decoration aisle. I know what beauty is. It's not the store. It's everywhere. It may be above you, below you, all around you. And again, I don't want you to answer, but has anyone ever said to you, "I know I'm not pretty. I don't care." And your first instinct was to say to them, "Oh no, you're beautiful." What did you mean when you did that? Did you mean that you saw in them a deep and spiritual perfection, which led you to a moment of wholeness? And don't you lie to me, I'm a minister. Or did you mean, "I want to reassure you that you look like what you're supposed to look like according to the commercial all around us"? Opening up conventional ideas of beauty to include people of all physical abilities, of all colors, transgender people, people with natural differences, larger people, that's not wrong. Not wrong at all, but it ignores a bigger issue. Why don't we fight against the idea that beauty is anything but a personal interpretation of what makes us feel momentarily whole when we see it or hear it or smell it? Why don't we fight against the idea that we can be trained to agree on what is beautiful? Gia Tolentino, an editor at Jezebel and the Hairpin, wrote an essay called The Beauty Bridge. And she said these surface level ideas of empowerment push women around each other on the narrow, precarious beauty bridge, rather than suggesting we just howl like animals and jump right off. Being seen as beautiful is not the same as having real power. It's not the same as having strength. It's not inclusion in any sense. When we get told what to find attractive, our direct connection to the awe and wonder in the world is lessened. When we're denied media representation of all types of bodies and looks, all ages, all sizes, all colors, we can no longer decide for ourselves what calls us to wholeness because we never see it. Lindsay King Miller says, beauty's always been defied by its opposite. There's no way to excise the concept of ugliness from the concept of beauty or to permanently keep it from being used against us. Thich Nhat Hanh says, to be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. It's easy to feel beautiful when you accept and love yourself. It's easy to feel whole. Arthur Graham said, each of us is an artist whose task it is to shape life into some semblance of the pattern we dream about. The molding is not of self alone, but of shared tomorrows and times we will never see. So let us be about our task. The materials, ourselves, are very precious and perishable. Life is finite. You've heard the phrase, life is too short. Life is finite. Do not waste the precious time you have on an appreciation of yourself and others for their decorative value. John O'Donohoe says, if you try to view yourself through the lenses that others offer you, all you will see are distortions. Your own light and beauty will become blurred, awkward, and ugly. Your sense of beauty, of inner beauty, has to remain a very private thing. Throw away any lens but your own heart. Embrace your beauty that brings you wholeness, that brings you peace. Ignore the shallow waters of media dictates because you are much deeper than that. There's a river of true beauty flowing through your soul, and it's telling you that you are somebody. So take a deep breath and listen. Find that peace in yourself as we go into uncertain times. And know that you are beautiful. Amen.